These aren't, you know, 15-year-old kids that are in high school. These aren't even 12-year-olds that are beginning to have some sense of priorities, a sense of discipline. These are 5- and 6-year-olds. It would be an easy argument to make that I'm making right now that a 5- and 6-year-old that witnesses this could be scarred forever to some degree.
Well, you know, the thing is what John's talking about and we are talking about is the issue of children in a sports atmosphere. And these are the same kids that are in school all day long that are supervised by a principal, a school system, teachers that have been certified, and we have some kind of control in that environment. Yet on the same facility outside is a big field. And I'll never forget where one of my kids were playing one time, and I went by and I saw probably 500 or 600 kids playing youth baseball. And it was the beginning of the season, yet this school would not let one stranger on in the school without getting a pass and getting approved, yet all these people out there on the same facility after school coaching these kids, playing the role as a teacher. What is the difference? Why do we not make it a mandatory requirement that anybody uses public facilities must be screened, held accountable, and really supervised?
Okay, so what happens if we do that, John Neighbor, and suddenly we get, let's say, a 50% drop-off in the volunteers, but a wholesale improvement in the caliber of the coaches? Is that a worthy trade-off?
That is the crux of the matter. It is, in fact, a trade-off. I like to think of the analogy of if my wife and I want to go see a movie, we got to hire a babysitter for our kid. Now, if I can't find a sitter that's good enough, I have to give up the movie. You know, that's not an option. That's not a choice. And so when you're looking at putting adults in charge of children, I'm not as worried about pedophiles and criminals. I'm just worried about a bad role model that'll teach my child something I don't want her to learn. So in some cases, I can just imagine large meetings filled with the parents, and somebody says, okay, we all agree we want to have our kids in a little football league. Who's going to be the coach? And that long pregnant pause, we're waiting for the first person who, you know, is willing to do it. And there's a sense of relief as soon as somebody steps forward. Ah, wonderful, now I don't have to do it. And that's just a shame. It's a shame that that's the priorities we demonstrate.
One of the things we do with my foundation working with youth is we call it the 24-hour learning clock, because there's a double standard that the time away from school is less important than the time in school. You can have a perfect school environment. You can have the best teachers, the best experience. But if you go home to parents and say that your education doesn't matter, you're getting too uppity because you're getting a good education, you're learning to make decisions for yourself, or let's say you go not to the parents, but you go to a playing field where these sorts of things can happen and a coach is using obscenities and he's treating you emotionally with some emotional violence as well, that's just as powerful or more so than anything you learned in school.
And Nick, if I may, the video footage of this altercation in Texas, there wasn't just one parent and one official involved in this ruckus. As soon as somebody exploded, everybody jumped into the fray, and that's teaching. Now you got little kids learning that their parents are using violence to solve a problem. It's not just the one individual that's at fault there. There's a lot of people at fault.